What was something special about the terms, especially baptizo and baptizma? Anyone? Yeah, but besides the definition, right? Because all of them have to do with dipping or immersing, right? So I hope you remember that from Sunday. Very basic, and that was kind of the takeaway from it. But what's special about the word baptizo and baptizma? It's the second word in your notes tonight. It wasn't translated, it was what? Transliterate. What does transliterate mean? Letter for letter. You're just basically taking a foreign word and making it fit your language as closely as possible. So you're saying the same word in your language. So instead of baptizo, it's I baptize, but it's spelled almost letter for letter. And baptizma is baptism. All right? It's not translating the word. If we were to translate the word, once again, what are the two words we could use to translate it? To dip or to immerse, right? To put something in or under something, into something, okay? So what I thought I'd kind of go over tonight is I literally read through the entire dictionary of the Greek New Testament so I could find words that are transliterated that are used in the Bible. Not all of these are. So I have mine in red. You can't see them, but the ones I'm going to cover. But there's a lot of neat ones here. By the way, I have 151. Did you verify that I have 151? Okay. If there's an N in the category, that means it's a name. So we might come back to these if we have time, but the names are a lot of fun because they say the same thing, and a lot of you don't remember your Greek, so it doesn't matter, but I can spell them out for you. But capital letter A in Greek, it looks like our capital letter A. Lower letter A in Greek looks like our lower letter A, so it's not as hard as it looks. So, but I taught you all the Greek alphabet before, what, 2 years ago in the summer? And I would encourage you to try and keep up on that. We reviewed it over and over, but it's very important, and I hope you understand even why it's more important here. I'm just going to go through and read these, the ones that I'm going to mark here. I probably have, I don't know, there are not that many that I have marked, and then I'll go back if I have time, because some of the words are fun and some of the places are fun besides that are used in our culture or used as names or something like that, but maybe are not found in the Bible transliterated. Not all of these are transliterated in the Bible, but they're transliterated in our culture, if they're not, okay? So what I want to look at first is number 6, abusos. Now, if you think about it, if there's an OS on the end, that's like the noun form with an ending on it, and the endings change in Greek. So take the OS off and say abus. What would that be? It's transliterated in the New Testament. Abus. It starts with the letter A, not C. And it wouldn't be caboose in the Bible because as far as I know, there were no cabooses in the Bible. These are all words that are transliterated in the Bible. Abyss. So beside letter 6, somewhere in one of those lines there, because I do them all different, but abyss, right? And you can see there, by number 6, it's abusos. There's no Y in Greek. It's the letter U. So hyper, which is a Greek word, is hyper. Okay, so there's no Y in Greek, so that's another tip too. So abyss, the abyss. And it, I don't know why, and I don't quite understand it, but busos means depth. And the letter A on the front is like without depth. So in other words, think of something very deep, and this you can't measure because deep indicates a certain depth, and this is without depth. So it's translated often the bottomless pit. Okay, but at times it's translated abyss. Okay, interchangeably here. Number 7, How many have studied Spanish at all? What is it, the letter L, that if you get two L's together, then it turns it into a what sound?
Yeah.
Y. Yeah. So in Greek, the gamma is a G sound. G. Right? Two G's is an NG sound. So number seven, take off the OS because that changes. There's an A and there's an NG sound. There's a letter that looks kind of like an E and it is an E. And then there's a funny looking something with a leg. That's the letter L, lambda. Angel. Angelos. Yeah, it's just angel. So number seven is angel. We pronounce it with a soft G. There's no soft G in the Greek. It's angelos. And by the way, it's funny because people get confused. They were praying for Peter. The church was. They were assembled together. Peter was in prison. And God let him out. And Peter goes and knocks on the door. And a girl named Rhoda. Did you know Rhoda was a Bible name? That's knocks on the door. And she runs and tells the people that are praying, Peter's here. And they said they thought she was crazy or that it was Peter's angel. And I've heard pastors say, oh, they thought it was his ghost. And it's like, it's not the word for ghost. It's the word for angel. And if they would have translated it, what's it mean? What's angel mean?
Messenger.
Ah, he just sent somebody to tell us something. That's what you mean. It's like, no, go to the door. It's Peter, for real, okay? So angelos is angel. Number 14. All right, we're jumping down. Because of time, effort, and energy, this is the first letter. If you look at the first letter, what's the letter in English?
A.
A. The next one looks like an upside down backwards H. That's the Greek letter mu. And I'm not making the sound of a cow. It's M-U, mu. It's the letter M. Okay? The next letter looks like a funny N, but that's a... There's two E sounds. There's epsilon, which is the one by the angel up above that looks like an E. And then there's eta. So this is like a short vowel, and this is a long vowel. Sometimes they use the term like this E, but it's eta. So there's epsilon, and then there's three letters afterward that are fun to say. Zeta, eta, theta. I always want to know what a theta tastes like. You know, zeta, eta, theta. So this is eta, which is a long vowel sound, eta. But it's amen. What is it in Hebrew, by the way?
Amen.
Yeah, this is amen. Amen. Hebrew is a short...
I think so. I'd have to look at the bottom.
From what I understand, amen or amen is one of those almost universal words that's almost in every language. By the way, what does it mean? Because at times, in the King James, one time Jesus said, amen, amen. At least in the Greek it did. Yeah, it means truthful, or it is, may it be. So when you say amen, you're saying I agree. It is truth. It is truth. Okay? That's what it means. So amen is transliterated. That helps us, but it doesn't help us because people, even in churches that talk about amen, they don't really necessarily know what amen means. So even when you close in a word of prayer, you say amen, you're saying this is the truth. Okay, so you're echoing the truth. All right, the next one is pretty easy too. Number 18. All right, the first letter is what in English? A. The second letter is, we just had it last month. It was what day? March 14th is what? Pi Day. Right? So this is the letter what in English? P. So it's A, P, and then O, and then that next one's, there's two forms of S. The one, the letter on the end is an S, but also the letter in the middle. This is an S in the middle of a word. This is an S at the end of a word. And by the way, I'm telling you, I believe you need to know the Greek alphabet at the very least, because this stuff makes a difference. You need to be able to look up words and at least pronounce words, because you're like, oh, I know that word. I can pronounce that word, and it's like, boom. It makes a difference. So it's A-P-O-S, and then that the thing that looks like a T is a T. And what did we say this was? What letter? L. Apostolos. Apostolos. Take off the O-S. It's singular, right? If it was apostles, it would be apostoloi. Like, so the endings change. And that would be if it was the subject. If it was the object, it would be apostolos, right? So different. So it's the word apostle. They transliterated the word apostle also. So the idea of transliterating, I'm showing you, is something that happens quite a bit. Now, why do they do that? Either out of convenience, because it's hard, you know, I like to translate as accurately word for word as possible. Some people argue against that, but I say I'm translating, I'm not interpreting. You have to understand what the text is before you can interpret the text, right? So if you say bottomless pit, that's two words. Make sense? So then you're like, okay, which word is for bottomless in the Greek? And it's like, well, it really isn't there. And it's like, I'm not saying you can't use it, but I'm saying as much as possible. So maybe it's like out of convenience. Angelos, I don't know, maybe they are infatuated with a supernatural being. Because angel, to the Catholic Church, right, they're the ones that technically translated the King James Version, right? It was the English Catholic Church. And that influenced it in many ways. But they were big on angels as supernatural beings, which some of them were, because they're messengers from God, where others are just messengers from somebody else. So the messenger is meant to be the messenger. Okay? This probably people understood it, so it's easier, because it's hard to say, well, this means that you're saying it's truthful. It's one word, not a sentence, right? And then apostle. What's an apostle? Apostello is the verb form. This means one sent with a mission. So when you say an apostle, it summarizes it only if you understand what the word means. An apostle just isn't a dude. It isn't just a follower. He's someone that's appointed with a specific task. And it could be like John the Baptist sent, he apostelloed somebody to go to Jesus and say, are you the one? He had a specific mission to go and ask Jesus, are you really the Messiah? Because I'm in jail, and my future is looking pretty bleak. Right? It's someone sent with a mission. You can just send somebody. By the way, that's pimpto. I wouldn't want to be pimptoed anyway. I'd rather be apostelloed. Right? Pimptoed is just, hey, go over there. I don't care why, just go. Right? So one has to do with the act of sending. The other is a sending with a reason, a purpose. Right? So that's number 18. Number 28, you already know these. Baptizo is baptize. It's the verb form. What's 29? Pardon me? Baptisma. So that's bapt. Ends with ma. Baptism. And then the next one is baptiste, which is Baptist. John the Baptiste. He was the baptizer. So you could say Baptist or baptizer. The Anabaptists, we haven't really talked about it much, but the Anabaptists were actually, Anna means again, because they were baptizing people that had already been baptized as babies. So they were the rebaptizers. That isn't all that they believed. That's not all that they stood for, but that's what they were known as. And by the way, that wasn't a good name. That's like calling the Northerners Yankees. And Baptist is kind of like a carryover from that. It's not the best descriptive term. Because now Mormons baptize. Right? Different people baptize. We stand for more than just Duncan people. Right? So it's probably not good as what it did. There is a history behind the term, a historical significance. I bet you no one in the neighborhood knows what the historical significance of the word Baptist is. And there's a lot of people in the news that are Baptists. Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton calls himself a Baptist. Not sure what kind of Baptist that is. Jerry Falwell is a Baptist. If you know who I'm talking about, Jack Hiles is a Baptist. And by the way, they're all different kinds of Baptists. All of those were listed as different. They would not identify with each other. So, lots there. Let's jump to the top of the next page. I bet you your hobby's not in the Bible. Genealogia. Change the IA to a Y. Remember that this down here is a G sound. This thing here, just one of them, right? That's a G sound. So genealogia. It's even spelled right except for the last two letters. What is it? Genealogy. Yes, and all God's people said. What number am I on?
40.
The ea on the end is just a noun form. So genealogy, by the way, it's not mentioned in the form of a hobby, by the way. So that would be a misapplication of Scripture that I just gave you an illustration on. So it's not proof that you should study genealogy as a hobby. In fact, it gives the genealogies of Jesus and things like that, but it also says you shouldn't spend a lot of time on endless genealogies. Apparently they studied them and stuff from a Bible study standpoint, and that's like, okay. Number 48. Do we own a... 48 and 49 go together. Let's do 49 first. Diamon. D-I-A, you can see those by looking at them, right? And the upside down funny backwards H is the letter what? M, it's mu. The what looks like a W is the letter omega, right? Jesus is the alpha and omega. You should be able to recognize omega, alpha and omega. And then the last one looks like a V, it's really an N. So diamon. What's the word? The game that you play that you try to get people to say a phrase?
Password?
No, it's a new game. That's password. People, nobody else here even knows what password is.
Catchphrase.
I remember watching on TV though. Catchphrase. So it's like they give you different words, but you're trying to get a different result. I don't know if I've ever played it, but I've seen some people. So you try to come up with some kind of phrase, right? That's what we're kind of doing here, just because of what it sounds like. But demon is what? Yeah. Demon. Right? It's transliterated too, because how do you describe that? What's another word for demon? Maybe devil, but in Scripture, a devil is a different word. So maybe one of the reasons they chose what they did was they didn't really have another term. So they coined a term and called it demon. Whether it was the King James translation or maybe William Tyndale in the 1500s or whatever. Okay, so that's another reason, but diamon, demon. Now, the one before it is the verb form. Look at it, it's almost the same. They changed the omega to an omicron, which is another O. There's two O's, two E's. Daimonizomai. And they get the DZ, so demonize. So that's to demonize. I remember Dr. Colbert teaching on this, but one of his questions was, can a believer ever be demon-possessed? And the question is, can anyone ever be really demon-possessed? Because that's really not a biblical terminology. You can be demonized. You can be influenced by a demon. That's what this verb is. Daimonizomai, okay? It's to demonize. Okay, and that doesn't mean to make someone like a demon in politics, but it means as a demon, impact someone as a demon. Okay, so sometimes I'm not sure how they're translated, but usually it's not demonized. So that one's probably not technically transliterated, but I just wanted to bring that one out. That's why we covered 49 before we covered 48. Number 52, moving right along. 52. Now, I don't want Pastor Jim to answer. I don't want Lynn to answer. I do not want Sean to answer. Okay? We've taught this over and over again. What do I tell you to do with the OS on the end? Just ignore it for the moment. Diakon. Deacon. Okay? It's the word deacon. Now, I wish it would stay more the same, because that's very Englishized. But dia, And kanos has a better form. By the way, the word deacon is a transliteration. It doesn't tell you what it means. What's a deacon do? Well, he deeks. What does it mean to deek? Well, it's what deacons do. Okay, thanks for clearing that up. It translated means servant. The verb form, diakoneo, means to serve. And it comes from the idea dia means through, and kanos means dust. You're going through the dust for somebody. Jesus used it of himself. Paul used it. It's not a demeaning term. It's a self-humbling term to do things for other people. And Lynn has been called to do that professionally, apparently. Right? But it's to do tasks. You're doing things. Even when the first, what I consider deacons in Acts 6 were selected, they weren't called deacons, but they deaconed, verb form, and they did the service, which is another word. Diakonia is service. It's what deacons do. Deacons, deacon, the deaconing, the service, they minister. Another way to translate this is minister. The ministers administrate. The ministration is the King James term for diakonia. But it's something you do, and it's usually taskful. What did the first deacons do? They gathered a board and made decisions. Is that what they did? No, they served people, or at least made sure they organized money collection, they organized food preparation, and they organized food delivery after they figured out who needed food. For people that were not being fed, the widows, right? That's a daily task. How many like to eat every day? How many do it even more often than every day? Like every hour or something? We need to eat every day, right? And they would have to do that 7 days a week. There's no days off or whatever. That doesn't mean they didn't somehow rotate, but it was something that had to be done continually. People need to keep eating. You know, that was due to the persecution and so on that was there. So number 52 is deacon. Number 58, which obviously comes right after 52. Number 58, you can get rid of the two last letters. It's O-N. But the E-I makes an I sound. And this looks like just a really confused D, which it is. It's a delta. And then the omega, right? It looks like a W, but it's an omega. And then that last funny one again is the L. So idol. Idolon. Idol. What'd we do? We dropped off. See where we get that? That's transliterated too. Because how do you call that anything else without using a bunch of words? Maybe it's, again, a convenience or, you know, how many have ever seen or used the opposite of shorthand? It's the Amplified Bible. I think it's just the New Testament, but it's like they'll use 30 words for a word sometimes so that you can get the sense of the word. It's not a translation so much as to help you understand the depth and the breadth of the word. It still isn't the best because you still have to determine what's the usage here. And you don't get to pick what the usage is. Right? It's meant, you don't get to choose which one you like. But idol, what else? What's another term you can use for idol? That's two terms. And statue, maybe, but it doesn't give you the idea, full idea, right? So what term would you use? I'd use idol, I think. And it's only four letters in English, but it's like, it's hard to, you know, what else do you use to cover the word idol? You could give examples of idol, but then it would leave out the other things that are idols also, or whatever, and then people get the wrong idea. It's like, what did you mean, little children, keep yourself from chocolate cakes? I mean, is it like, don't eat chocolate or don't eat cakes, or what are you trying to say? No, idol, and it, with the idea of something you worship in place of God. But that's very cumbersome, and then it's a interpretation of sorts, not a translation. So this is, again, probably out of efficiency. Now, 59 is similar to this. You see, it's the exact same beginning all the way to the there. It's idolatria. By the way, latreia is another word for worship, which is your spiritual latreia. In Romans chapter 12, verse what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your latreia, your spiritual service. This is idolatria. Well, it's one word, and it's transliterated. So does it sound like idol worship? Right? That's where it comes from. Idolatry is just a transliteration. And transliteration means that they've, as much as possible, just transferred that word to the English language. Idolatry is idolatria. It's worship of idols or idolatry. So idol is something you worship. Idolatry is the act of worshiping that. Okay? Number 64 would be next. If you know what it is, I don't want to hear from you. Let some of the little kids think about this. Okay, well, I'm going to write this out. You have to be young, 12 or younger. Okay? I'm going to spell it out. It's E-U-A, and then there's two of these. That means it's an N-G, which looks awful familiar to another one we talked about. And then the E, right? The E, and then an L, and then an I, and then this squiggly thing here is a zeta. Isn't that a cool name? It's the Z, but it's not at the end of the alphabet. It's in the middle. But it's kind of like a DZ. It's D. Okay, so we translate DZ. And then the last letter is what? Anyone can answer this. What? What's the last letter, not the last sound? Omega, right? Which makes the sound, Pastor Jim. Oh, it's a long O. Okay. Euangelizo. So if you're 12 or younger, help me out. What do we see here first? What's this word here? It's a what? Okay, it's the word messenger. What's the word though? Angel. So it means message. It looks like that anyway, right? Messenger or message. This is just a verb form. Okay, the O on the end is like a verb. So it's something done. So it's not a noun, it's a verb, it's an action. Anyone know what EU means? I'm talking about 12 or under anyone. When you think of EU, don't say EW, but that's what it sounds like. But EW is, think of it this way. Someone shows you something really neat and you go, ooh. But I want it to be positive. Ooh means what? Like my daughter made some, we just call it peach dessert at my house. But it's like, I've been eating it since I was in the Army. I have a buddy and he came over, what, 2 years ago? And we had peach dessert way back when our baby Esther was a baby. And Jane would make it and we'd both go, ooh, oh, that's good. Well, I just had some today and I still am oohing over that peach dessert. Lynn, you getting hungry, bud? He says, stay hungry, my friend. Right? Stay hungry. Ooh means good. All right? So what does ooh mean, everyone? That means this EU. EU means good. Okay? A little personal detail. Anyone know what my middle name is?
Eugene.
E-U means what? Good. And Gene means birth. All I can think of is mom goes, glad that's over. Oh, my word. But that's what Eugene means, and it's Greek. I don't really like the name, but I didn't get to choose. But Eugene, good birth, well born. How did that work out? Wasn't really a prophecy, was it, at all? Okay, we change it in English. Now this is 12 and under again. There's another word we use, and it's actually in the Bible. It's actually in your list, I think, but I didn't highlight it today. But it's eulogia. We use this in our world today. eulogy. And they don't change this. It's still you. E-U. What's a eulogy? It means something what? Good. So what's the good? Word. Put in a good word for me. You going to be dying soon? Eulogy. That's what it means. Someone gives usually a eulogy after you're dead. I don't know why. Maybe you should say something before then. But eulogy is, a lot of times that's what they call it in a funeral. It's like, yeah, Uncle Frank, he was like, you know, good fisherman with dynamite when the cops weren't looking. You know, some kind of eulogy like that. But sometimes it's changed. So let's do this. It changes sometimes to a V. Why is it? Because the next letter is a vowel. So they change this because otherwise, you know, you need some consonants in there just to bring you home a little bit. So let's do this. Evangel. Help me out here, 12 years old and under. There's a Z. There's an I. What's it drops out the D. Say it louder because it's a verb. One more letter. And it has a Z in it. Evangelist does not have a Z in it. Unless you're a hacker. I'm the evangelist. Huh?
Evangelism.
That's a noun. Help me out here, 12 and under. Sammy, do you know? You ever watch those game shows and they keep saying the same word over and over? It's like you weren't listening, were you? Huh?
Evangelistic.
We need parts of speech training. How about this? What's it now?
Evangelize.
Yeah, you know why? Because I wrote the whole word out for you. But good. Evangelize. See the Z? They don't use the O. We in the English use evangelize. So that's the term. And they changed this V there. Otherwise, it would be all evangelize. So they changed it to a V. So 64 is to evangelize. And it's kind of like baptizo. They use the same zeta right here. Well, it's in your notes. We need to study our English more. Okay? Okay, here we go. 69. This is called, in the old days, it was called a bifocal. But it's theta. It's two parts, has two letters. It's represented by the TH. So it makes a TH sound, like this, instead of, what's that? T-O, Thomas. Oh, okay, all right, just checking. Okay, so it makes a TH sound. So the first one is TH on 69. The second one, this one here, looks like an OR. You row with an OR. It's the letter R. In fact, it's row, R-H-O. So it's T-H-R. Next letter?
O.
On 69, right? Are you there? And then N. And then the last two letters we drop off, and it gives you the idea. It's what? Thron. So we change it to throne, right? Okay? It's thronos. But it's the word for throne. And that's in the Bible several times. Another one here, 87. Next page. Left side. What did I say about the U? There is no U. What is the U become sometimes in English? Not always, because eulogy uses the U. Sometimes it ends up being a V, and sometimes it ends up becoming a Y. A Y. Okay, and this one it is. The first letter of number 87 is what? It's the upside down. It's moo, right? It's upside down, I don't know, cow with a long leg or something. So it's M, and then there's a U, it changes it to a Y. Then it's the funny looking S here that goes in the middle of a thing. Moose. And that's a T. Tau is actually moose. And which letter for E? It's eta. So we just change it to an R. Musteri. And the O-N you drop off. So you say Mystery, and we would change this because eyes on the end, we're not Italian. Mystery. Mystery is a transliterated word in the New Testament because it has kind of a long definition. A mystery is something that wasn't revealed but now has been revealed. Okay? It just doesn't flow well in a poem. Yes. 91. This one's kind of harder, but I'm going to spell it out for you because we're running out of time here. Or this letter here. I should have put them all out here. That's a PH. So orphanos. Orphanos. And we drop off the what? God did not leave us as orphans. Right? That's a transliterated word again. And it's like, well, what's an orphan? Give me one single word for the word orphan. But that's an adjective, not a noun. So parentless cats? Parentless what? You know, it doesn't really say so. I mean, you have to have two words or more to explain it. But people that have lost their parents are orphans. Okay? All right, so the next one is 101. What's the first letter? You know this from math. First letter is P. Second letter is that rowing thing, right? So it's an R. Then what? An O. And what did we say this was? Has two parts again. See the line down the middle? It's kind of like theta only. What did we say? PH. Right? The P is pi, or P. PH. And then you have an E, or a long eta, right? Prophetes. Right? And then we drop off the end. Phetes. Kind of the same thing. It's a feminine noun, but it's the word what?
Prophet.
Prophet. Prophetes. It's transliterated again. What's a prophet? One word. Seer. No one knows what a seer is. Most people don't. They're like, seer. What's see what? See her? See her? Where'd she go? Prophet is someone who receives direct revelation from God, right? Message from God. So they transliterate that. So again, I'm showing you that this happens quite a bit in translation. You don't know really how to move it over, or you don't want to move it over. If it's more convenient to leave it where it is and explain what the term is, that's what it is. Here's another one here. It's the next one down. Now this one's interesting. I'm going to teach you something else about Greek, okay? At the beginning of a word, if there's a vowel or the letter R, row, if it digs in, if there's a breathing sound that digs in, it makes the H sound. There is no letter H. If it doesn't dig in, there's no H sound. So, this isn't a real Greek word, but what would this word be? Hot, right? And this is, oh. Why? Because the difference, right? This is the H sound. This is not the same thing as with the R. So this has a breather sound. So there's an H in front of it. And then there's an A, B, B, I. So it's rabbi. Does that sound very Hebrew? I don't know. Yeah, rabbi. So it's rabbi in English. Is it AI? It means my great one, literally. So, rabbi. All right, literally. Okay, the next last column there. The last column, which is the next column. It's not the next last column. My next last point is one that's used quite a bit, and I'm just going to spell it out. It's S, and then the U becomes a Y. I don't know why. I think it keeps us from understanding words as well because it confuses us. It's not consistent. Soon is S-U-N is with. S-U-N is the idea of with. Okay? So soon agog is to lead together or come together. And a synagogue became known as the meeting place where people specifically men met together, okay? So, synagogue. And some of these I just put in here. Well, I guess I took them out, the ones that I had for Sean. They're still in there, but not highlighted. Number 34. Sean, it's number 130. And there was another one in there that I... Oh, and 133 are yours. Tupos. Tupos. T-U-P-I-O-S. We're going to cross that off. We're going to make this into what? Let's make it into a Y, because if you make it into a B, it's like, that doesn't make sense. So what's that spell? T-Y-P, maybe throw an E on the end of it?
Type.
Woo! Okay, now what do we mean by this? A type, this is a type as in the Bible, it's a type of something, it represents something. It's not something you do on a keyboard. It's like saying that Joseph in the Old Testament was a type of Christ. He was a symbol of Christ by the way he lived. That's tupos. And that's how the Bible uses the term. Okay, it's a type. But that's transliterated as well. This is another one. This is why many people don't come to church, and they don't realize that you come to church because you should, not because you're perfect, right? You have a U there, but there's one of these breather marks on it, which gives it a what in front of it? Yeah, so... And then let's make the U a Y, because it's in between two consonants. So, right? Hupokrites. We'll change the K-looking thing to a C. There's no C in Greek either. And the rho, right? Krites. And we'll drop off the A's on the end and put it there. What's it spell? It's a transliteration again. You know what that literally means? Hupo means what? You use a hupodermic needle. Dermos is Greek. It means skin. Hupo goes under the skin. Hupo, krite. Krite is judge. You fly under judgment. You don't fly. You don't have to be. You're under judgment. You're escaping judgment. And it's translated oftentimes actor, you're fake. That makes sense, right? Hypocrite. Jesus just used the term hypocrite. Well, at least that's the Greek word. And by the way, they translate it because it's hard to translate that. You can't say actor because that a lot of people would say, like, well, thank you. You know, didn't realize you noticed. You know, it's like, no, not that kind of actor. You're a faker, you're a, you know, something like that. Faker would probably be a good term, maybe to translate that. Let me give you a couple more. 144 is chasm. The key makes a CH sound. There is no ch sound in Scripture either, in the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's k, right? So chasm, it's the chasm. Father Abraham, please send Lazarus to dip his finger, we talked about that Sunday, to come over, and Abraham says, it can't be done, and besides that, there's a chasm between us. There's a space between us. That's a Greek word that's transliterated. Kind of, it's chasma. Now I had to say these. 145, there's no CH, but we use CH. But look at this. Cherub is the word cherub. Right? The CH is k. So it's spelled with a key. This is the letter key. 146 is Christos. You should know that is Christ. Remember, we don't say Trist. We say Christ. It's a hard CH. Christianos is 147. They were first called Christians at Antioch. That's Christianos is Christian singular. And then the last one that I'm highlighting is 148. And this one, you don't see much. There's hardly any things that start with this. But you have a PH, you have a CH. This is a PS. Fee key psi. Fee key psi omega. Psi. It's the 194. But it's psi. Psi. It sounds like you're almost sneezing, but you're catching yourself. And then A, and then the L, and then the M.
Psalm.
Extra points, I guess, for Lemuel. What's 151, anyone?
Psalm
I've covered all the ones I'm going to cover. What's the term next to the number 151 with the decimal next to it? And then box over to the right, Nathan. By the way, that's a capital omega. It has a breathing mark in front of it. So it's a huh. Hosea. Hosea. Okay, I'm going to do a little quiz in here, and then I'm going to close in prayer here. I got to see a couple. Philosophia. Phosphorus. Phosphorus. We had phosphorus grenades in the army. Phosphorus. 103. Rekab. What is it? Rekab. 103. What is it? It's a CH in the middle of the name, and we use it as a ch. Try it again. It ends in a B. Rechab. The next one down is Rachel. That would be Rachel. And then you have Rebecca. They all have a breather on it. So apparently you spit on all your daughters. 106 is what? Ruth. 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 Let's see here. 109 is Samuel. 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 No one has 112 as a name, I don't believe. Satanas. Or that would be a 118, Scandalon. 117 is Sion or Zion. It starts with an S, not a Z or a Zeta even. Thomas knows 100 very well. It's proctor. Right? At your tests? You have a proctor for your exams? They spell it different, but it means exactly. They're the official. They're the constable. Pragmatia, Pilatus. Let's see. There's a couple more really good ones. Martha, Maria, Mesopotamia. 50 is Daniel. Oh, I want to show you a couple of others. 71. It's a breathing mark, but it's not a heavy one, so it's silent. And there's the letter I, it looks like. And then there's the letter E, and then the Z, right? Yidz. Abel. Jezebel. There's no J in Greek either. It's yeah. It's like almost like a Y. It's usually a letter and a vowel and a vowel. Look at number 72. That's the name Jesus. 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 And it almost rolls off like a Y. Jesus.
Because all these names that we have, both Jacob and Joseph, they're not bad in Hebrew either.
Right. So it's confusing. But I thought 73 then would make sense. Yo-ana. Yo-ana. That's you. Yeah. Throw away the J. I'm just kidding. And Yosef. Yosef. Number 74. And if anyone hears a Kaiser, that's number 75. Gabriel. Number 35. Gabriel. Botany. Did you know botany was a Greek word? We didn't cover blasphemy, but I suppose we could. Anna. There's no Anna. It's either Anna or Hanna, and it has a heavy breather, so it's Hanna and Anna are the same. By the way, Jezebel and Isabel are the same. There's no difference. Adam would be Adam. Abraham, number 5. I was going to say verse 5, but these are uninspired for sure. Abraham. Abraham. Abraham, right? And? Go ahead. 132. Yeah, did you like that? Yeah, 131 is trauma. And 132 is traumatizo, to traumatize. Though it's not transliterated, those are ones that we use in our culture, right? The trauma department of the ER, right? So, yeah, so all of those are Greek words, and you know many more. Sean knows even more. Tapas, topography, and tropos. Tapas and tropos. I'd have to look them up, but you would be like, oh, I know those. So, all right. I hope you had fun. If you have questions or want to know what your name looks like in Greek, I'll write it up here if you want. So, even if it's not a Greek one, I can make it Greek. I went through Spanish, and the guy, teacher said, in 8th grade Spanish, he goes, and your name, Kevin. Ear Poncho. Because there's no Kevin in Spanish. So, I was Poncho, which is short for Frank, right? So, okay. So Frank's going to close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and Lord, just so much that we can learn and have an interest in, and I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, give us a thirst for learning. and a desire to just know more. Lord, there's more than we can ever fit into our heads, and we forget much quickly. But I pray, Lord, that as you help us to learn, to help us to pay attention and learn and to review things so that we get it. Lord, this helps us in everyday life and our vocabulary and all. It helps us to think more deeply, all of that, and certainly helps us to study our Bible and use Bible study tools. And I pray, Lord, that you would enable us to do all of that as we understand how important it is to learn these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.